Thank you. Good evening. This is the Pacifica Audit Committee on April 22nd, 2019. I'm calling it to order. I will take the roll call. I believe Adriana Casanova is no longer on the committee because she hasn't appeared for several meetings, and I think her time is up anyway. All right, Adrienne LaViolette.
Here.
Carol Travis has told us she's not coming back to meetings, so I'm just putting notes. Serene Roberts. You here yet, Serene? Not yet. Okay, I am here. Eileen Rosen. Elaine Duncan.
Here.
Okay, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Jamie Gomez? No, Jamie. Jim Sagerton?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Ken Lelfer? Maskila Washington? No, Maskila. Paulina Vasilyev?
Here.
She's here. Okay, thank you. Can I get a volunteer to be pro tem secretary? Okay, we probably won't have a lot of votes or motions tonight anyway, so I can.
Paulina here. I can be a pro tem secretary as long as I don't have to have access to internet because I'm actually outside of my house.
You don't really. Just, note whatever, and then later on you can turn it into minutes and send it along. That'd be great. Thank you. And timekeeper?
I can do it, Eileen. It's Adrienne.
Julie? Oh, Adrienne. Great. Thank you. Oops. Cursor went to the wrong place. Hang on a second. All right. Let's see, have our guests joined us yet? There's George. Hi, George.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good.
Let me just finish reviewing the agenda quickly to see if we approve of it. The first point is really the only substantive point is updates on audit-related issues. And I noted that George from NIDA and Scott and possibly Sandeep from Rogers and Company will join us any moment. And I guess we'll get an update on the progress of the fiscal year 2017 audit and the beginning of the 2018 work. If there's information of interest, I hope we can get a little report or information on NETA's visit to the Berkeley office to close the national office. I don't know if everybody here knows about that. I sent out an Excel file that I received this morning from Scott with the fiscal year 2017 pending items, so we can see if we need to discuss that to any degree, and any additional comments and questions. From there,
Jamie Gomez just arrived.
Business. I'm sorry? Oh, Jamie, good. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
All right, let me mark you as here. Okay, excellent. Gotcha. All right, so can we approve this agenda, or does anyone have any changes to request or additions? We're going to talk about whatever questions come up anyway. Okay, let's get started then. Let's see if we've got Scott here yet. No, we've got George. So, George, I guess you can take the stage first off. I've heard a little bit from Scott that there has been some good progress made over the past few weeks. I guess the actual work of the audit was begun for 2017. But why don't you tell us what's going on?
Sure. I'll leave the details of the audit progress to Scott.
Sure.
But We have made some good progress, and there was a few things sent in today, so that the list that went around today is somewhat dated as well. So let me just jump a little bit to the closing and preparation of the national office.
Okay.
Since Anita and another senior controller, Al Burnell, out there last week, and they made some pretty good progress. We still haven't. They just came back on Friday, and Tamara was off today, so we haven't fully digested what we've brought back, and so we brought back paper files plus electronic files, and so there might be some things we can get. But they opened mail. Some of the mail's been sitting for months. And they found checks not deposited going back to November. So they wrote up a deposit and took to the bank. That was about a $12,000 deposit. They sorted material. The office was quite a mess, and this is years of accumulation and what have you. I think I heard the number 35 boxes of files to shred, but they sorted the material into items to be shredded or shipped to any TA where it can be scanned or referenced. And they gathered all the personnel files and brought back to Columbia.
Great.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of catching up there that they did and copied electronic files. So there's a few of an item items that we might be able to sift out of that. One thing I was hoping to get is accrued vacation that National Office has been tracking for National Office and WBAI and WPFW. Wondering had not been able to come up with that before. So there's a slim chance that we would come up with that. And that's a fairly small number, so it's not a deal stopper for Scott and his team.
Gotcha.
But that was one thing I was hoping to get. But that's something that we might sift out of there going forward. Scott's team was doing their field work. Last week was their dedicated week, so they got through the material that we had sent, and of course that generates more questions, and we've been able to respond significantly. Some items are not available, and that's what Scott's going to have to work around. For 17, every number needs to be resolved by 18 or 19. So that's where we're at now is, just trying to get 17, in a completable date, for the auditors. And then we move quickly into, FY18 audit, and that field work is supposed to start on May 20th. And so the goal, the hope there is to have the FY18 audit done by June 30th.
That'd be great. Done and sent off, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Let me just note for 2018. Sandeep, hello, welcome. I think, is this the first time you're on a meeting with us, Sandeep?
Oh, hey, hi, Eileen, how's it going?
Hi,
second time.
Good to hear you on
Scott.
Here.
I just called
Oh, hi, Scott.
Too. Sorry.
Oh, okay, I guess you weren't on last time I looked at that screen.
No, I apologize. So, I thought I had my number and call in stuff a little more handy than I did, so it took me a minute to locate it.
It's okay. It's just I switch between screens, so I don't always have my eye on exactly who's logged on. But, yeah, so George just gave us a little summary of what happened when Anita and, I guess, Albert, I think you said, went out to Berkeley.
Albert now.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Albert, yeah. And
it's a woman.
Al Bonnell
and Al Bonnell and Tamara, I believe. Are the two ladies who accompanied Anita to myself.
Oh, Al Bonnell. Okay. All right.
Al Bonnell, yeah.
Anyway, I still don't have it, but it doesn't matter. But now you guys can tell us how the audit is looking and what we need to do about it, I guess.
Sure. So I'll kind of start and Sandeep jump in anytime. But we had the team reassembled last week. So we had a call with George's group and Maxie this afternoon. And so just to sort of recap from that, I mean, obviously they made a lot of progress in getting the remaining original open items and PVC items ready for us. Mm-hmm. So the team kind of literally plowed through as much and everything that they could get through. And, you know, we generated some more questions and things like that. And I sent that out today earlier to George's group and Maxie and Eileen. I copied you. I don't know if you've had a chance or were interested in sharing it with the rest of the committee.
Yeah, I did send out I sent out just the open items. I didn't send out all the detail that somebody else, Tish, I guess, had sent.
Oh, okay. So one of the things that we talked about is you know, there's if you look through the different tabs on the open items, there are several areas where we're saying, hey, we don't have support for this. Is there more support for that? So one of the things, just to put that in perspective and context, for what we discussed this afternoon was, you know, I know a couple of months ago we talked about, you know, what the opinion might look like based on documentation or lack thereof. And so we kind of put that out there, wanted to float it over to George's group and to Maxie at National, to the extent that, you know, I know everybody's made such a, you know, huge push in getting some of these things. So this is kind of like, I didn't want to assume that if it wasn't there, it didn't exist. So it's just kind of like a final question. And one of the things that I said in my email to them was, you know, if you don't have the support or if you can't put your hands on the support, just let us know that too and we'll stop asking. We'll just, you know, consider that like final answer and then document and move forward with things the way they are. So there are a few things. In fact, Tish was sending some things over earlier today. So even addressing a couple of the items that were on the open items list. So we're kind of in a position now where as these things come in, to the extent that there are still things coming in, we'll go ahead and kind of wrap up and conclude on those various areas. And Sandeep has been working on drafting the financial statements. I know that George put together the core statements, and so Sandeep's been kind of putting those into our format that we typically have in the audit reports that we do, and then he's been working on kind of assembling some of the footnotes. So that's kind of what I would imagine we will be doing over probably the next couple of weeks, because good news, we're still very busy, which is good for business, but bad news is we're still kind of, you know, just having to juggle a couple of different things while we're wrapping this up as well. But the message I want to give to the committee is that, you know, we by far made more progress last week than we've probably made in the previous 8 months. So that felt good for a change.
That's great news.
And then I think right when I dialed in, I heard George talking about kind of general timeline. So we do have on our schedule the week of May 20th to do field work for the FY18 audit. So I would think at some point between now and then we'll be wrapping up and hopefully issuing the 17 audit and then rolling into that 18 audit, because I think if we're not doing field work by that week in May 20th, I think that that's about as late as we could schedule field work and still have an opportunity to wrap everything up and issue it by the end of June to meet the state deadline.
Right.
So anyway, so there's a there's at least a plan in place to accommodate the timeline that we're all working with.
Well, I'm going to tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to guess that having plowed or waded our way through 2017, that 2018, while still, I expect there still to be some problems with finding everything, but it should be a lot easier because, yeah, you've seen everything and you know where it is. You know what the numbers mean now.
We talked about that a little bit in today's afternoon call with management and so forth, and I think that's a fair assessment. I think George made the comment he thought that 18 might still be a little bit rough. I mean, I think each audit's going to get a little bit better, with the goal that 19 will be probably what would you'd consider a more normal audit.
Right.
So that's good. Mm-hmm. But I think to your point, I think getting into 17 being really the first fiscal year that we are involved with, and NETA, or I call them NETA, NETA is involved with, I think, obviously that's a little bit of the pain of just getting your arm around everything and knowing what's there and what isn't there. And so I think for 18, you're correct. We probably will have still some documentation issues and things like that, but I think it'll be a little more streamlined because, from 17, we know what's there and kind of have a better idea of what to expect when we can't find something, it's just not there, and to move on and not, scratch our heads and spin wheels trying to, search for it. Right. It kind of is what it is at that point.
Yeah, it is what it was at the end of fiscal year 2017.
It is what it was, and hopefully not what it will be. So anyway, exactly.
Something like that.
So anyway, that's the timeline and the progress. And I mean, I don't know if anybody had any questions. It's probably a little early for us to really give any concrete conclusions about one thing or the other. But I will say that, I said it, I think, on the last call, and I said it this afternoon, but I do really appreciate all the help from the folks at National, and all the help from George and Anita and Tisha and all the folks that in ETA that, went out in the field. I think that made a tremendous difference in terms of just being able to kind of pull everything together and get us to the point that we're at right now.
That's great. So, yeah, our thanks to everybody as well, of course. I am looking at the open item schedules that you sent, and I'm just wondering if there's anything there that we can help with. Remember that the first, a couple of meetings ago when we were first looking at them, we were thinking that some of the people who have been on the board for a long time would be able to explain some of the fluctuations.
You're right.
Are
and
we
I think
at that point yet, to try and get people involved with that.
We are, and I would say so. What we've done is the items you see highlighted, these all reflect mm-hmm. the latest and greatest trial balance. So these should be, close to final numbers, minus, if we have any audit adjustments. They're kind of, these are the financial statement line items that you'll see on the consolidated, but on the combined balance sheet and income statement. So we're not necessarily getting fluctuations by individual station, but it's more of a global overview of, for example, cash went up quite a bit from 16 to 17, and accounts receivable went up as well. So, to the extent that, anybody on the committee or the board have kind of that 20,000 feet level of what's going on globally with the organization and can provide some feedback and input, I certainly welcome that. But so the flux on the first two tabs are definitely something I think the board and the committee might be able to help with, given their historical perspective. We did talk on the call today. There is the very last tab, the going concern tab. So we talked to Maxie, and he's going to put together, kind of the things that he's been working on since he's been with the organization. Because I kind of get the impression from previous calls and discussions with him that, really a lot of what he's doing really kind of addresses management's response to the state of the financial status of things and what he's doing to kind of, you know, steer the ship and get things back on course. So I know he said he would put something together for that in the short term. And, I mean, you guys are welcome to look through any of the tabs if there's something that jumps out, but I'm assuming a lot of the other tabs, George and his group will probably be taking the first pass at.
Yeah, because I see that for a lot of things, like on the AP and accrued tab, I guess this is George and his folks that sent out emails, I suppose, asking for information.
Right. So this would be a perfect example. You know, if we're not able to get a check register to do this, you know, just let us know. Hopefully that's not something that can't be provided. But if that's the case, this is kind of like our final question. Give us your final answer if you have it or can't find it, and then we'll go from there.
Is this being handled through, you know, like your conversation with Maxie and George, or do we need to ask people? To get involved if that's just going to confuse things, you know.
I agree. I mean, on our call talking to George's group and Maxie, we literally kind of talked about this entire Excel spreadsheet. I mean, not line by line, but, you know, we addressed it as a whole. I think, like you said in the previous call or meeting from a few months ago, I do think there's probably a great idea to have the board or the committee weigh in on those flux analysis questions. Beyond that, I would probably, you know, if George or Maxie, or if, you know, we kind of hit a wall and reach out to anybody, that's great to know you guys are available. But I think those other tabs you guys can probably let, I don't want to speak for him, but I assume George and Maxie might take the lead on those before the board and committee would get involved.
That makes sense. Yeah, because they're more technical, so to speak.
This is Dave. Okay. Will we be having questions now? Or do you want us to wait? Hello?
You're muted.
Eileen,
you're muted.
You lost her.
Wow.
One second. How did that happen? No? Really?
We hear you.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. That was weird. Okay. I think we can just take questions now. We might as well. Go ahead, James.
Okay. I was curious about the items that apparently don't exist, or, you know, we know that they might exist, but they don't exist. To what extent are we obligated to... Well, I guess first, just a general question, how do you rectify something that you know is supposed to be there but isn't? And what's our obligation if we eventually come up with a cache of things that were missing but now suddenly we have going forward? Do we have an obligation to produce that?
So we talked about this, I think, on a call a few months ago where, you know, it was I think given that we have, I mean, if you look back at the 16 audit opinion, there was a limitation. It was a modified opinion, so it wasn't a clean opinion. And your previous auditor had cited the fact that you had the pension plan audit, that the liability associated with that could not be determined at that time, so it was a scope limitation. He also referenced some of the support that was lacking for, you know, a variety of account balances and so forth. So when we talked a couple of months ago, I think what I was trying to kind of put forth to the board and the committee was that I think given the state of things for 17, we're probably very much in a similar situation. So, you know, it might be worth not getting so hung up on spending, you know, 6 months trying to find things that may or may not exist. So everybody seems to be reasonably comfortable with what the implications of that would be for the audit opinion. So to answer your question, I mean, you know, if we're asking for support there's different levels of audit evidence. I mean, obviously, if we're asking for a document and the document exists, that's the best evidence, you know, to back something up. Sometimes it's kind of just looking at certain things in their totality and sort of, you know, does everything else, you know, it's a little bit of common sense. You know, if you can support this number and this number, then you can back into another number and feel reasonably comfortable that that's a good number. In other cases, you know, without the direct support, you know, you're just kind of left, again, just supporting that modified opinion where we're saying, hey, the support was lacking and so forth. One of the things that we've been trying to do, and we've talked with George and his folks about this, and I think that they've done a pretty good job with it, is it's probably more important to really try to support the balance sheet items. Just because, you know, those are kind of your snapshot items, point in time, and they, you know, your ending balance for 17 for the balance sheet items or the statement of financial position becomes your beginning balance for 18. So if we have big question marks about some of those account opening balances, then it's just going to kind of have a little bit cast a shadow on 18's audit. And, you know, the goal is really, if nothing else, we want 19 not to have any kind of, you know, question marks around some opening numbers. So it's really just kind of seeing what we have and looking at everything in total. In terms of the obligation for the organization, I mean, once we issue an opinion for 17, I mean, you're really under no obligation to continue to look for things for 17. I mean, certainly if you find something, I mean, share it with us. And, you know, like I said, it may end up helping to support, you know, how that balance continues into 18 or 19. But once the audit report is issued, I mean, nobody's really under any obligation to continue to search for supporting evidence for that year's audit.
Thank you. Good answer.
Sure.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. So I'm thinking that once you guys, because I know you all have to get off a little early tonight, we can talk, I guess, maybe with Maxie, figure out how to get our board members looking at these flux questions and then, you know, see what we can either set up with you or what they can write or whatever is appropriate.
Right. And you know, whatever you guys decide with that, if it's helpful, I mean, we sort of summarize the flux items in this tab by, like I said, at that combined account balance per line item that'll show up on the financial statements. But given that everybody is really representative of different radio stations around the country, if it's easier when you guys start delegating that out, we can send you the account roll up into those numbers. So that way, if you're trying to find out, you know, accounts receivable significantly, if that helps pinpoint which station and which person from that station might be more likely to answer the question, just let me know and I can easily forward that version to you as well.
Yeah, because when I look at accounts receivable, that's crazy. Am I allowed to say these numbers on the air? It goes, and I suspect it's due more to, you know, incorrect or documentation or entry during fiscal year 2016 than anything else.
I don't mean I can
we only
respond
had,
to that.
Yeah,
sorry?
I think George,
I think that's a grouping question. My number is substantially less for accounts receivable and less for accrued expenses. So it might just be a mapping question. My balance sheet looks a lot different. So don't spend any time on that. That's just a mapping
question. Maybe
–
what I'll do in the morning is I'll go ahead and send you the detail account, which are kind of reflect the stations, and then you guys can – I think it would make it a little more plain to see, you know, if there are grouping differences or ultimately which station is driving some of the account changes so that you can determine who best to spearhead some of the explanations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The,
yeah, that'll be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, the flux is a lot smaller there than we're looking at, and I've got lead sheets that tied all of my numbers, and so I might just need to see how they're grouped on Scott's side, and it's probably just an account getting mapped differently. So
okay.
Yeah, we can get that tweaked in short order so everybody has the details correct.
Okay.
And part
yeah, because maybe
On the accrued expenses, for example, a lot of that is pension and also rent for WBAI especially. And
right.
And so as the outside professionals are working on the pension plan, getting that squared away, that's going to work itself out over time. That they were working that more in the current state, meaning within the last 9 to 12 months, and
right.
And they didn't really have a point in time, excuse me, liability for these pensions as of 9/17, and probably with a lot of time and effort and money, you could come up with that. But the payments appear to be having been made fairly current. So we took that number, and I think that's one of those numbers that we're just going to need to pass on for 17. And 18 will be closer, and then 19 should be pretty knowable. And the same thing with the accrued rent. Yeah. So a lot of these unknowns kind of shake themselves out over time. The cash we have a good handle on. Accounts receivable we have a good handle on. And as you look in the open items, for example, in accounts payable, there's three stations that had a big, I shouldn't say stations, I'll say units. Had a big difference between the systems, accounts payable, the subsidiary ledger versus the general ledger.
Right.
Now, the general ledger is a control account that should always equal the aging. And only in one case did it agree perfectly. Another case, it was off by a couple of $100, but that was just a timing issue, the way an adjustment was posted. Five units were off but got resolved. And so the three, WBAI, WPFW, and National Office, remained off, but there's a lot of paid invoices that were sitting in the on the subsidiary, and it was just from misuse, unfamiliar, untrained use of accounts payable, and so they weren't clearing these items on a regular basis. And it looks like they hadn't attempted to reconcile this for years.
The one thing that we talked about too, and just to interject, is I know some of the things that we have on open items where we're asking for, you know, like specific traditional what you'd expect kind of support, knowing that George and his team have gone through and kind of gotten comfortable with some of these numbers that he's talking about. I mean, I would just sort of reiterate that if whatever you use to get some comfort around those, if it's in a format or you're comfortable sharing it with us, you know, that may work to get us a little bit closer to, you know, being also comfortable with it. It might help eliminate some of the question marks that we have when we are kind of wrapping things up and kind of determining what the opinion actually looks like.
Right.
If that makes sense, because I know you guys have done a lot of work and you've kind of had to do some workarounds with what was available and, you know, for some of these, I know you've been able to get comfortable kind of backing into some numbers. So, you know, certainly for any of these open items, feel free to share that kind of support or logic or memos or whatever you guys can put together to kind of get yourselves to that point too.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, for example, the WBAI has a long list of open items, and Berthold said he could spend all day going through and scanning checks and showing the invoice had been paid. I just wanted to hold off on that for now. I think there's better use of his time, but there's ample samples of items that are on the AP subsidiary that are that were in fact paid, and so that's why the GL balance is less, and so it's not the way I'm used to doing it, but it gave me enough comfort that the subsidiary is off more so than the general ledger. In that case, but a lot of those areas, those soft areas and liabilities, are going to work themselves out in 18 with the new loan, and that took care of some back rents, and as the pension plans are, as those audits are caught up and paid if need be, that too is going to come into focus, just because they didn't have the point in time numbers, and same with accrued vacation. If they weren't keeping it at the national office and that and they were supposed to, that's a point in time number that kind of comes and goes, and it would be a project to sort out any one of these numbers, and so it's certainly going to shake itself out between 18 and 19.
Okay. Well, this is all very encouraging.
So I assume we have a call next Monday as well.
Next Monday, I don't think so.
Okay.
You guys probably wouldn't have a lot new to talk about. Is that right?
Probably not in the next week.
I think in 2 weeks is when we should have, by then, the new audit committee should be somewhat formed. I think it's by the end of this month or by this week. I don't know. We have to vote by tomorrow as to which directors on the board should be in each committee. And then the LSBs will assign people to committees. So we'll have at least, you know, a partial new committee in a couple of weeks, maybe not a week from now.
Well, that's exciting. I only asked because I'm doing some traveling in the next week, and I just wanted to make sure that I had you guys on my calendar for the right days and times. So, so 2 weeks is perfect.
I would guess 2 weeks, but we will discuss that towards the end of our meeting. That's when we set the next meeting. Oh, hi, Serene. I saw that you're here now. Good. So,
great.
Okay.
I came in late. I'm not quite sure who was speaking when. If I don't catch your IDs at the beginning, no one repeats it during the meeting, and I don't know who's on. But approximate date that you expect to be done with 17?
We can go over that. I think they need to leave.
I can certainly answer that question. I think we have scheduled to be doing field work for FY18 the week of May 20th. So the 17 audit should be wrapped up and hopefully released prior to that date. So I would say within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we should have the 17 audit finalized. Okay. We'll need and want to have it finalized before we start, you know, getting too much into the 18 audit in that week in May.
Well, finalized and then accepted by the board, but, you know, which is another process. I was thinking, the date is what it is, but I was concerned about having a new committee actually sign off, if you will, or approve or accept, I'm sorry, approve is not appropriate, accept the report, because many of them will have no clue what they're approving. So it would have been...
Right.
You know, would have been best. It would have been best.
Well, I think before you got on, Eileen made the comment that you guys are in the process of sort of reforming or turning over the audit committee. It sounds like this week or within the next week. Unfortunately, we won't have the audit to a point where we can present it to the audit committee before that happens. The only thing that I would say is that typically when we get to a draft stage of financial statements and our communication to the board, it's not uncommon for Sandeep and myself to present that to the audit committee. And so what we typically will do is send that out in draft form to whoever's going to disseminate it to everyone involved well in advance of a phone call or in-person meeting, if that's the case. And then what we typically do when we send that out is we'll have our grouped trial balance, we'll have any audit adjustments that we came up with, we'll have a draft of our board communication, a draft of the financial statements, and then when we present that to the audit committee, we can literally walk you through every statement and, you know, highlight footnotes, highlight changes and balances and stuff like that, and are available to answer any questions that anybody has. So with that in mind, hopefully, regardless of the composition of the audit committee, at the time we're ready to do that, hopefully it's presented in such a thorough way that whoever it is feels comfortable approving it, signing off on it, or whatnot. So, but unfortunately, given where you guys are in that turnover, I don't think that we would have a draft ready to do in the next 7 days. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's time estimate is wrong anyway, because I think the ballots are not going to even be counted for a week or more, and then the local boards, of course, have to send.
Okay, we can... Let's let them go, and we can work that out ourselves here. Sharice, thank you.
You've had a lot of air time without interruption. Please don't cut me off. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry, you're breaking up, and I can't really make out what you're saying.
I said, please stop interrupting me. You went back and forth with the auditors and others for quite some time without interruption. I just wanted to say that the plan sounds good. And although I think your timeline is completely off, it's not realistic considering that local people have to be added. I wanted to thank the gentleman for their participation tonight.
No, absolutely. And as soon as you guys nail down your timeline, I mean, let us know, and to the extent that we're able to get drafts out before the committee turns over, we'll certainly do what we can to accommodate that.
Great.
All right.
Thank
well,
you,
thanks,
Scott.
Everybody.
Thank you, George.
Everyone, have a nice evening.
All right. Thank you very
good
much.
Too. Thanks, Scott.
Well.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Great.
Eileen, if I may.
Yes, please go ahead, Max.
Yeah, I just wanted to bounce off of a couple of things that Scott and George brought up. They wanted me, Scott in particular, asked that I provide a going concern memo. And I just wanted to fill in the blanks as to what specifically Scott alluded to I was working on that speak to this part of the reporting, if you will. And this is something that I'll be turning in to him by sometime middle of next week at the latest. There are three areas, reducing expenses, increasing revenues, financial management and accounting, that will be addressed in that report. It'll be really just a memo, and quite frankly, it could be bullet points or maybe a paragraph or two. But in terms of reducing expenses, we are having conversations, Nancy and myself, with public media company around some big decisions that could be made to address the loan issue that we are grappling with and how to resolve the payment of the loan. I'm not mentioning it by name because we're on an open call and we've been asked not to articulate that name. But just so you know, we are in negotiations with an organization that not only assisted us in getting that loan, but also has vast experience in generating revenue in a way that I won't get into detail explaining now how that can come about, but they are big ticket items, if you will, with respect to assets of the organization. Second one is increasing revenues. We have a membership with Greater Public. For those of you who don't know, Greater Public is sort of the go-to throughout the non-commercial media industry, both TV, new media, and radio, in terms of best practices, policies, and procedures around revenue centers. That's underwriting, major donor support, individual giving, special event, donor cultivation, marketing. You go through the whole gamut of marketing, revenue opportunities within our industry. They are a leader in that field. We're members of that, all five stations, plus the affiliate, the national office, and the archives. The stations in particular are already utilizing some of their tools, and you should expect to hear that in some of the pledge drives moving forward. And so that covers the increasing of revenues. And then the final one is financial management and accounting. And, of course, that is evidenced by the work being performed on our behalf by NETA. And then, of course, that agreement was began at the beginning of this year. Grace Aaron gets a lot of credit for the negotiation of that. I was involved in that process as well. So those are the three things I'll be addressing in that document. So I just wanted to chime in and give you a little bit of fill in terms of the going concern tab of the Excel document that Scott provided.
Great.
I have a question about that.
Go ahead.
Just since it's the fiscal year 17 audit, will they still be including this kind of information, you know, the very latest, really,
that? Great question.
I just don't know if it goes in, you know, a past due audit.
No, I get where you're coming from. It's a question I have as well. It was what Scott suggested I include. So I don't know if he feels like the time stamping of it is necessary. It really is more of a statement of what we're doing to resolve sort of our fragility, if you will, moving forward. So I do get what you're saying in terms of it being time stamped a little bit further in the future than this particular fiscal year 17 audit. Good point. I'll follow back up with him again, but again, this is what he suggested I include.
Yeah, it probably does if he wants it, you know, this soon. So, okay.
That's true, yeah.
Did you want to address any of the other points?
I can speak a little bit about the visit to Berkeley. I went to the national office with the folks from NETA. Anita is our primary contact, as well as two associates that we mentioned earlier on the call. What we did, in essence, is went through boatloads of boxes, files, cabinets, and went through it and determined what documents needed to be destroyed, what needed to be preserved in digital form, and then what things needed to be stored because they have they're within a time window that we have to maintain them as documents. And so NETA went through, the folks from NETA went through, I think George said they sent over 35 boxes of material back to South Carolina for continued processing. There's a lot of material that you can, as you can imagine, when you're talking about audits for multiple years back. But they're going through just to kind of get a grip on our situation. It's been voiced as, we're going there to close down the office. I hesitate to use that reference point because while that is certainly something that I have articulated and suggested the board needs to consider. It is by no means something that, you know, we're going forward and doing from a definitive standpoint. And I say that because I think a decision like that obviously requires the board's involvement. We do recognize that we're talking about a significant rental savings of well over $5,000 a month if we go in this direction of terminating the lease. I did meet with the owner of the lease, of the property, I should say, and discussed the arrangement. Found out that the lease actually goes through July of 2012. No, I'm sorry, 2020. So it's actually longer, the commitment is longer than I think we thought. I think there was a belief that the lease ended this year. It actually ends next year. But he is willing, the person who owns the property is willing to get us out of the arrangement now. All we have to do is give him a 60-day notice and come out of it, you know, 60 days following that agreement. And so it's something I want to certainly put in front of the board for consideration, not only because of the savings, but we have no one working in the national office. Once we did job actions on the two employees working in the office, there really is no one in there, and I would argue there's very little reason to have the physical property. There's a couple of scenarios I'm going to go about over the next couple of weeks, hopefully next week, in fact, if not this week. One is to determine if KPFA has any value, any use in occupying that space. I know in talking to the general manager, they are crunched for space in their building, so maybe that's an option, them either taking over the lease or continuing it forward. That's a scenario that could play out possibly. Where I don't think subletting is an option. And then, of course, you know, terminating the lease after the 60 days and moving forward and determining how we can establish a virtual presence for the national office moving forward. And there's plenty of examples of how that can work, and I think in the coming weeks I'll put together documents to demonstrate that for those who are curious as to what that actually looks like, what it means, how do we receive mail, that kind of thing. One thing I'll say real quickly is that with NETA employed, all of our billing, all of our accounts payable and receivable, all of that mailing, if you will, goes straight through NETA at this point. We have rerouted pretty much all of our mail that comes from our vendors to come to our attention at NETA offices. So that issue should not be a stumbling block for us moving forward. I think the greater question is, are people comfortable with the notion of this organization operating without a physical property? And if we do resurrect a national office in terms of personnel, whether it be an interim CFO, a CFO, or others, personnel, do they need to be in Berkeley? Do they need to be in a physical office? Or can we adopt some of the trends that have happened in various industries where we have people working right around the country and operate from that standpoint? So I'll be quiet and let others ask questions or follow up if necessary. But that's sort of where that is going in terms of the national office. It is a frozen space. I've literally secured all of the entry points. No one has a key other than myself and the folks at NETA. I think sometime this week there will be a key available to the general manager at KPFA, but that is it. There's no one operating in that space. There's no one going in and out of it. We secured passwords. We know the codes for different devices, and we have the alarm. So everything has been modified and changed, and no one can have access to it except with my permission. So that's the story there.
Grace, go ahead, then Paulina.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that the lease for the national office space was a two-year lease, but that was to protect Pacifica in case we couldn't vacate within 1 year. However, there's a clause in the lease that says Pacifica can terminate the lease after 1 year as long as 60 days notice is given to the owner.
Correct.
At any rate, the current owners were reluctant to lease us back the space at all. So I would imagine that they would be amenable to our leaving as soon as we can get out of there. But that would be negotiated. But I don't remember exactly when the lease began, but I'm sure that the 1 year is up or almost up at this time.
It's up in June, I believe, at the end of June.
Okay, so we're not obligated. If we give 60 days notice, we're not obligated after 1 year.
That's correct.
That's in the lease. That's in the original lease with
absolutely.
The owner. Okay.
Right, right. Yep, everything you said is coincides with what I was trying to say, so thanks for clarifying if in fact I did that. But, yeah, the bottom line is he's amenable to us exercising that aspect of the lease.
There is one other thing that I'd like to bring up, and that's the – I believe the bylaws are very clear that we must have an office in California.
Mm-hmm.
So – and I believe that's probably a physical office. I believe that's probably part of California Corporations Codes as well, so that we can receive service, et cetera. So that needs to be looked at carefully.
Right.
We'll have to review that.
Mm. Yeah, we do need to look at the California codes to determine that. I would have to imagine, of all states, that they would have moved forward on the notion of virtual as well. But you're right. We should review it, make sure that we're appropriate. I'm very clear on the fact that the bylaws speak to an office in, I believe it's Alameda County in particular. I think it's the whole North Bay area. And if we need to do that, that's fine. I've even had preliminary conversations with the general manager at KPFA. If we just needed to have access to a space when somebody from the national office was in town to satisfy that requirement, if you will. So we're looking at the whole 360 degrees, if you will, of opportunities and options regarding this.
Thanks, Maxie. Paulina?
Yes, thank you. I'm curious, since when is the national office a lease and not a property of Pacifica? I was under the impression, perhaps completely wrong, that Pacifica owned two properties in the Berkeley, San Francisco Bay Area, the KPFA building where the antenna is, and as well as the national office. How long has it been a lease? And if anybody can update me on that, please, I apologize for my ignorance, but for some reason I thought that was one of the properties owned by Pacifica.
Yeah, I'll yield to others on the call. I think Grace probably knows that story better than me.
I do.
Grace, go ahead. Why don't you? That'd be great.
Okay, the National Board agreed to sell the building that was housing the national office. Half of the building was housing the national office, and the other half was just storage space. In order to satisfy our debt to the Empire State Realty Trust of something like $3.7 million all told, we needed to sell that building. We made a very advantageous settlement with the Empire State Realty Trust, and the settlement amount was approximately $3.7 million. That building helped with the amount needed. The other part of that sum was gotten by getting a loan out on the three other buildings that Pacifica owns, the KPFA building, the KPFK building, and the KPFT building. It's a loan that covers the three buildings. But that wasn't enough to satisfy the settlement, so the that other building was sold for approximately $1.1 million. But we negotiated a lease back so that the national office wouldn't have to move immediately. So the lease was for 2 years, but there was a clause in the lease. We would be allowed to stay in there for 2 years if we needed to. but there was a clause in the lease that after 1 year we could vacate if we gave the landlord 60 days notice. That's all.
And we're paying about $5,000 per month on this lease?
I believe the lease amount, the monthly amount, is $4,500.
That's correct. That's correct. The expenses I was including are the all the other expenses associated with maintaining the office. So it goes up into the $5,000 range after that.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay, does anybody else have any more questions or comments? Then I guess we're done with that point and can move on to action items or new business. Who's there? Somebody speaking?
Serene.
Oh, there you are, Serene. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, that presentation is one perspective. There are others who felt that there were other ways to handle the debt. The judgment was not $3.7 million, the total amount for which they settled, and some people think it's extortion. I don't know that everyone was enthusiastic about that so-called settlement, the late fees and then the fees on the late fees, and then a restoration fee of a room that we had used for some, 30-something years. Suddenly we had to restore it back to its former glory. I mean, so, you know, there are ways to present things, and And I just want to say that the view that this was such a great deal for Pacifica all the way around is not unanimously unanimously agreed upon position with regard to how the debt was handled and what alternatives were not explored.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eileen, if I could respond to that very briefly. This is Grace.
Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
The Empire State Building had a summary judgment against Pacifica of $1.8 million. Besides that, we had accumulated, after that, another $1.5 million in debt to the Empire State Realty Trust because we stopped paying our tower rent. The original contract, which is a 15-year contract, had escalator clauses in it. So the monthly rent for the transmitter, the WBAI transmitter, to be on the top of the Empire State Building was around between $50,000 and $60,000 a month and escalating, growing larger and larger each month. We were obligated for another 2 years on that contract, a little more than 2 years. That amount would have been a lot of money. Just added up $60,000, $70,000 a month times 12. It's a considerable amount of money on an annual basis. So we owed them approximately well over $3 million at the time we made the settlement. The settlement settled all our debt to them, and plus the original contract had any money we owed them, they could charge us 9% interest, plus there were other penalties and all kinds of added costs if we didn't make payments on time. So if you added up everybody on the national board, I think, or most people on the national board, felt that the settlements was extremely advantageous to Pacifica because our debt to the Empire State Building was much greater than the $1.8 million summary judgment, because after that we accrued more debt to ESRT. So if you look at the and the board came to the decision, yes, I don't know what other there were other proposals suggested, but none seemed to be. The board adjudicated that this was the best option, and but you can look at the numbers and explore it and see. But it's not. I think that it was very beneficial to Pacifica.
Yeah, beneficial, I guess, compared to how bad it could have gotten. In other words, just as a relative term. I mean, the rent, that was crazy. That amount that they charged, it did sound like really grasping, but that's just an opinion. Anyway, does anyone else have comments or questions? Irene, did you have something else?
Oh, there's no point in another round. Grace didn't say anything in her second round that I didn't say when I spoke, but she felt the need to say it, and that's fine.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we can just move on then. Do we have any other new business for this meeting?
Yes, Paulina took stock about new business.
Yeah, go ahead, Paulina.
I am wondering how, given that we have elected new LSD delegates across the five nations, how the formation of the new committee is going to work. I'm not sure when, maybe Grace and anybody else from Kay can comment when we're meeting. It should be the third Sunday of the month, but we may have moved that. Is membership to the in committee should I suppose be on a voluntary basis with no restrictions in terms of whether it's I mean, I suppose it's limited to board members, but can you clarify as to how we're proceeding on this point?
I personally am not really sure. I know that, you know, we're voting, I guess tomorrow's the deadline to vote for the directors who are nominated to be on the various committees. But then the LSBs, I don't know if everybody does things the same way to choose their LSB delegates. I literally do not know. So I'm sure somebody else does. So I think
this is great. I'm happy to explain. Unless somebody else wants to, I've talked a lot in this meeting. If there's anyone else who'd like to explain, I'd be happy to have them explain, or else I can do it.
Well, why don't you go ahead, since if you know how it works, and then anybody can add anything else.
Okay, it's very simple. Each committee, or most committees, have one P&B representative from each station, plus possibly an affiliate representative, and also two representatives from each station. Those two representatives are voted on by the local station board of the station. The P&B representative is elected by the national board for each station. So the next KPFK local station board meeting is on Sunday, and hopefully we will decide on Sunday what representatives from KPFK will be on the various committees.
Great. A quick follow-up. The fact that the KPFK LSB decided to vote it to not elect its officials, its officers, and postpone that. Does that mean that we should also they will also postpone the vote for committee membership? And also, I would say the fact that we the committees so far they're composed. Sorry.
Paulina, I'm losing you.
One second. Sorry, I'm going through an area where I don't have a connection.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I'll come back. I'll come back with my comment. Give me a second. I'll be back.
But I'll mention, just to fill up the space, that Serene was absolutely correct when she said I was a little over-optimistic about when, you know, the committees would be formed.
I guess wishful thinking is what we would call that. But we will, you know, we'll just continue to proceed. And people will, I guess, get on according to their LSB schedules.
I don't know if this is Grace. Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if Paulina can hear me if she's not in range. So I'll just hold off and answer a question. She can.
I'm actually back, Grace. Thank you. I'm back. I can hear you now.
Okay. to answer your question, KPFK has pro tem officers, and certainly the committees, the national board representation for KPFK on the committees. I mean, the committee representation, representatives from KPFK to the national board committees can be done in the Sunday LSB meeting if the body chooses to do so. Pro tem officer can do that. It's not there's no reason why that can't be done.
And that would not interfere with the fact that there have been new board members elected to the PNB. But yeah, I assume. I guess that's a different issue. Well, thank you for the clarification.
And let me ask you, Grace. Am I correct in assuming that you know, representatives from the various LSBs will join committees according to whenever their LSBs meet and decide who's going to what committees? So
yes.
That, you know, at our next meeting, we might have people from two stations, and the meeting after, maybe we'll have people from five stations, aside from directors.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I would assume that will be what happens. You know, Carol Wolfley, who's the secretary of the KPFA LSB, put out information about the committees and what their structure is. So I will forward that to this committee, and I've been a little bit negligent in not forwarding it to our local station board. I will do that because there's no reason why we should reinvent the wheel. She already did all that work for us all. So.
Great.
I'll send that around as soon as the meeting
is
over. You're welcome.
This is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
So I think I actually touched on this either at our last audit committee meeting or the one before that. You continue to serve in whatever capacity you're elected until you're replaced. So
yeah.
I think coming out of D.C., for example, I think it was Muscular who was on this committee as a director.
Yes, Muscular.
So although you, Eileen, are now our director, you're actually sitting on the committee as a delegate, which is how you were elected last year. And you remain wearing your delegate hat, if you will, until the PFW LSB has elections to replace replace its delegate.
Since I'm now on the PNB, and if I get voted onto it this week, then I'll be here as the PFW director, right? And then they can send a couple of other delegates.
On the committee, your title doesn't, how you got here doesn't matter once you're on the committee. But I think they're voting, you guys are voting, and the ballots are being counted next week sometime, or maybe over the weekend. I don't remember the exact date.
I saw it too. I think they're counting them on Saturday or something.
Right, over the weekend, I thought I said. And at some point, your board isn't going to meet again until May 8th.
Yeah, the second Wednesday or something, yeah.
So I don't know if the system has done its elections yet, but New York has not, and D.C. will not have done. So I think, so we'll see how that goes. But I did want to point out that the description that Grace is talking about is likely the one that's on KPFA's website in its LSB section.
Okay.
And I'm glad that Carol compiled it for whomever she compiled it for, that Grace has it. But that if it's the same language that's there, it's actually not her work. It's not her creation. It's good of her to mm-hmm. share it with whomever she's chosen to share it with, but it's not actually her language, if
okay.
that's the source. And so anyone listening can go to kpfa.org and go to the LSB section and see the description of the PNB committees, which at one point, and the bylaws actually on this say that these, you know, the standing committees will have at least one director from each station area and two delegates.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And different PNB majorities have chosen to interpret those words, at least one director, in very different ways. So there mm-hmm. were times when you had two directors from each area, each station mm-hmm. area, and this current majority, and of course majority is always temporary, we should all remember that when we deal with each other, that they decided that at least one director meant only one director, in spite of legal mm-hmm. advice to the contrary. They you know, took that position some time ago, and whenever a certain crew is in the majority, then that's how it's structured, so that they're guaranteed two-thirds, you know, with three people coming out of each station, they're guaranteed two of three rather than having to deal with two of four and be equal with others.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pacifica. Yeah. Awesome.
Paulina here with a question for Serene. So how often does membership in a committee change? Is it with every election? Or as you were saying that a member serving on a committee serves until their term ends or until they're termed out, how does it work?
Well, the committees are recomposed. I don't know if that's the phrase. Reformed mm-hmm. annually, regardless of whether or not there's been a new delegate election.
Very
often
people
are returned, but yeah.
Right, and very often it seems that it happens too that there are no elections. I was not elected. I volunteered to be on this committee. And that's why so many questions. Just curious as to the rules. I'm sorry, I'm not connected to the internet right now, so I can't pull up the bylaws to read the pertinent subsection. But perhaps anybody who is more who has the access can advise in terms of which, as far as the, at least as far as the, I know that I remember from the bylaws. Anybody serving on the audit committee cannot be on the finance committee at the same time.
That's right.
Yes, but besides that restriction, what other rules apply in this case?
I mean, there's no rule that says you must have a fierce competition for it. People, it makes sense to have people volunteer for where they feel they have interest or some level of expertise. And then you only, well, in New York, which is pretty much what used to be done on the PNB also at one point, is that people indicate what they're interested in, and only where there's a conflict that you would actually
then
need to have an election.
I'm sorry,
I missed that.
No, I was just muttering assent. Yes. Yeah, no, this is interesting, and it's definitely going to be worth checking out what's on KPFA's
Article
website 8, there. Sorry?
Article 8, Section 2 of the bylaws.
Okay. But I'm wondering if we should continue this conversation. Well, it's interesting. Not so much audit committee business. And
I'm sorry. Can I just, there's one thing Paulina asked that I want to respond to.
Sure, go ahead.
People serve until they're replaced, even if they're no longer on their local board. So a station area does not go without any representation simply because the new LSB hasn't managed to have elections.
Aha.
Thank you, Serene. That's very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, people, anything else before we pick a new meeting date? Okay. Should we just aim for 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now? I know we'll want to hear from the auditors. Well, wait a minute. If they're going to start field work on May 20th, they believe they'll have a draft for us before that, and that we may have already been able to go through and sign off on if we're really good. We're going to need a meeting before then. Yes?
Sorry, just to clarify, I thought that we heard from the auditors that they will be finishing field work by May 20th, not starting.
No. Paulina, they finished their 2017 field work and are working up the documents now. They're going to do field work the week of May 20th for fiscal year 2018.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to propose May 6th. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Is that Adrian?
No, it's Serene. But you were. I thought you were done. I was proposing May 6th, but apparently
that's fine.
You,
that's 2 weeks from tonight, and I think let's go with that. And then if you know we need
this
to change
is Max.
It,
it's
nothing. Then we can change it. Go ahead, Maxie.
I would respectfully suggest the 20th, only because you'll have a full understanding of the fiscal 17 audit by then, and they'll be able to give concrete, you know, terms with respect to what they were able to accomplish and with their review, if you will, of the audit would be. I don't know what we're going to know on the 4th that's any different than what we know now, I guess is my point.
Yeah. Also, I'm not sure when they're going to be able to get a draft of the financial statements to us or when they think they'd be able to present them to us as Scott described. So I don't know. I almost feel like we should maybe check with them because that's going to be when it's interesting, you know, when we have something to discuss, when they have a first draft out that we're able to review and have our questions.
Can I make a proposition?
Go ahead.
If we set the meeting for this, if we set the meeting for the 6th, well, I don't know if the day they begin their field work, which is the 20th, which is the day that Maxie suggested, is necessarily the best day to meet.
There might be because,
they'll be out in the field, and if they're in California, you know, it'll be 5:30 after their first day out, wherever, you know. I don't know that they want to be on the phone with us that day, but if we set it for the 6th, then realize that by this, you know, set one for the 6th and set one for the 13th. And if we realize there'll be nothing for us to work on the 6th, then the next meeting, you know, for the 13th, by which time certainly the draft should have been in circulation, you know, because they're moving on to something totally new the next week.
I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. I will post both meetings. Both dates, and we'll just be in touch about how things are progressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with more than a day's notice, of course. So, yeah, let's do that. Is everybody okay with that? No reason.
Paulina's here just to, for the sake of clarity, because I'm taking notes and I'm going to be sharing the minutes. So, is the proposal to schedule a meeting for May 6th
and May 13th, pending further notice, subject to cancellation if it's not necessary. Is that correct? So May 6th and May 13th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I'll put both of those on the calendar.
Thank you.
The official
and
calendar.
Also before I forget, because I volunteered to be pro tem secretary after the roll call, I do not have the roll call for this meeting. So
I can send you. I can send.
Yeah,
I can send
great.
That to you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody. Thank you. And, have a great night. Get some rest. I think this may be the last time that this particular group actually meets, unless they haven't picked new LSB members yet. I will absorb that at some point to get it straight. Okay, so be well, and I'll be in touch.
Good night.
Thank you very much,
Eileen.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eileen.
Maxie, everyone else.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.